Hi, welcome to Every Sick Sec, a sex and relationships podcast from those least qualified to talk about it. I'm a host, Rhodes Conover.
I'm another host, Marina Conover.
And we have the same last name.
You might have noticed that we're very musical. We're the Conovers. We do lots of singing. We're sort of like the Von Trapps of Conovers, basically. Oh, are you the beatboxer of the family?
Yeah.
That sort of seems like a little, I don't know. Like, yeah, you're the youngest. You don't have to be the beatboxer. Just because you're like a little brother.
Yeah, no, I guess, yeah.
Wouldn't it be more interesting if you had like a very deep bass voice? And so everyone's like, oh, look, there's that family. And then there's that little boy. And like, I'm imagining, of course, that we're doing this when we all still lived at home. And I don't know, we're children.
Yeah.
And it's just like, because that's the situation that we're in right now, is that we're actually just kids. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I don't know, like five. And everyone's like, oh, look at this family. And you've got like one of those little hats that like has a spinning...
A spinning propeller.
Thing on the top of it. Yeah, a propeller on the top. And
I'm like,
and
hi, everybody.
Singing along.
My name's Rose, and I'm a kid. And I'm going to sing with my parents. And then I'm like, oh, how the leaves are this winter.
Yeah, that, but like two octaves lower.
Right.
We sing really sad songs in our family thing.
I just realized that leaves in the winter probably doesn't make a lot of sense.
It does if you live in Florida, which you do.
We do live in Florida. We should write a Florida song. Yeah, not for long, like a week. How are we going to record this podcast when I'm on the road? This is going to be weird.
I mean, I hopefully will also be on the road.
Why?
To help you move.
Oh, you're going to do that?
I want to.
Oh.
If Kyle doesn't steal my dang job.
Oh, okay. Well, there's also two Kyles who are up for that job potentially right now.
What?
Yeah, I wasn't even told you were on the list, frankly. No offense.
What?
Sorry.
I gotta be on the list.
Oh, I'm down. It sounds like a lot of fun to have you on the road trip. I'm in on that. That makes it a lot easier.
Kyles to fucking back off. They're not related to us. Their last name isn't Conover like ours is.
Absolutely. I'm with you. I assumed you'd be working, so you wouldn't
be
on the list.
I would be, but I don't want to. I hate working.
No, that makes sense. Absolutely. Now I get it, and that's fair. But then I was like, okay, well, I'll ask around from friends at school and see if any of them would
be
interested.
Terrible. Don't do that.
And now Kyle might come.
No. Unacceptable.
Okay. All right. I'm fine. Again, I am the optimal scenario for me,
Kyle,
is you come.
Fuck off.
Gosh, sorry. Fuck
no
off.
No offense.
Fuck off, Kyle.
Also, by the way, we got another review on iTunes. Thanks. Oh, I don't know why saying fuck off was what made me think about that.
Is it from Kyle?
It's from Jackie V. Thank you, Jack V, for your 5-star review titled "As a Person of Color, My Opinion Apparently Holds a Lot of Weight?" ? And then it just says, pretty good. I like it. Thank you. I appreciate
it. Wow. I'm really happy
about
good. That. I don't know a Jackie V. Do you know a Jackie V?
I mean, it's not Jackie V. It's spelled a little funny. And I just left an iTunes review for like the first time ever because I'm a good person now. Mm-hmm. And I just had said pick a nickname. And I think I just wrote like letters. I couldn't pick my name. So I don't know. But thanks. Thank you so much for your 5-star review. If you want to, you can leave a 5-star review for us also in your podcasting app. But you probably don't because you don't even know what the fuck this podcast is yet.
Okay. Also, I'd like to say real quick regarding Jackie V. I don't know anyone named Jackie V, which makes me think it might be a new person, but it is a nickname. But I also don't know any people of color. So,
oh, of course not.
We have a new listener who we don't know.
Oh, gross.
What a terrible joke.
Oh, speaking of things that are gross.
Let's do it.
This is a podcast, but asexual. No, that's not what I meant. I was going to make a joke about something being gross, but then I was like, oh, I should mention we're an asexuality podcast. And then it just, sorry.
Sex.
Speaking of things, we're an asexuality podcast.
Yes.
Hi. I thought last week we kind of like talked for a long time and it kind of just got like sad and depressing and not very funny. So I was like, we should do something good this week. And you suggested asexuality in media. And so, yeah, that's where it comes in. Speaking of things that are gross.
Yeah. Media.
Yeah. And also, I know what you're going to talk about. And I was like, I don't think I've really come across asexuality in media before. So let me just look it up and see what's happening. And I just learned that there's a lot of really gross stuff in the media about asexuality. So that's cool.
So one area that I was very excited to see asexuality in media was one of my favorite shows. It's currently still running.
Everyone knows what it is if you know about asexuality, because it's like literally the only one with an asexual character on it. Drum roll, Rhodes.
BoJack Horseman.
Of course.
Because that's the only one.
The only one.
Which is kind of lame, but it's awesome. It's really cool. I remember when I started the show, they don't really specify that Todd, the character is Todd, is an asexual character. I hope I didn't just spoil it for someone who's in season one or two.
Oh, shit, spoilers.
Yeah, for real. Sorry, guys. But those of you who stuck with the show, I was with the show from season one. I wasn't a late joiner to that train. It was exciting.
How could you be a late joiner onto a train? Is that like you're a hobo? Like, because you're hopping on while it's moving?
It's a hop on while you're moving.
So people who like start a show after it's already been on the air, that we call them TV hobos.
Yes.
Is that the appropriate term?
And we all have a little bit of TV hobo within us.
Some of us do have the consumptionist. So we've got a TV hobo, and we got to work on that one. You can cure it if you get medical care. Yes. Good luck, yeah. America.
America is just a bunch of TV hobos. Good thing we don't have health insurance to solve that thing we can
that
cure.
That was sort of my joke about good luck, America. Yeah,
I know. I just made it more clear because a lot of podcast audiences are stupid.
Thanks for our review, Jackie V. Fuck off, Kyle.
we don't believe we're better than anyone else, except for everybody.
For Kyle.
Except for everybody.
For all
listens.
Of the Kyles. Anyone named Kyle?
We're better than you.
We're better than you. Sorry. But like, you don't want us to lie, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, gotta tell the truth. Right. Gotta tell the truth.
Okay, so you're not... Let's get back to your very interesting life story. You're not a TV hobo for BoJack Horseman.
I was not a BoJack Horseman TV hobo.
Uh-huh. And you know about... And so you're just seeing Todd. He's just like a couch character. Potato dude, just he's living around, hanging out.
He basically is a hobo in the show, but he gets He gets the support of a rich dude. I wish every... Okay, let's take a second. I think if you have... Like, if you make over $250,000 a year in America, you aren't required to pay more in taxes than everyone else, but you are required to let a hobo live with you, and you have to provide all their living expenses and healthcare.
All right. See, I thought you were going to go a different direction. I thought you were saying... that actually everybody needs to get a sugar daddy. And I was like, yeah, let's like stop being weird about that. Yes, it's great. Get a sugar daddy. Live your dreams of sleeping on a couch all the time.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, I think that it shouldn't just be like us taking the initiative as the poor people. I'm thinking the rich people should be required to do it.
To do something?
Yeah, because one, it requires them to do something for once in their lives. And that isn't just like standing around an investment room with white people going, yes, sell. So, like, that would be good if we're not just doing that. And then also,
you're still doing that, like, 25% of the time, though?
You still get
like,
to do a solid 25%. I'm not going to completely change your lifestyle, but at least you have to be confronted on a daily basis. You can still be white. Still be confronted on a daily basis with the fact that there are people who have nothing and their life experiences, and maybe that would encourage you to donate and change your political views to things that are more reasonable.
I'm, like, sort of with you, but, like, imagine, if you will, I don't know that I wouldn't want to live with a fucking Donald Trump, you know? Like, I wouldn't want that. That sounds very bad. Like, you're sitting there and you're like, thank you for helping me out.
Okay.
It's been really rough. I have mental health issues and also, like, I didn't have a great start. And then everyone's like, well, pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
That's true.
And you're just like, fuck off.
If you don't get good reviews,
Kyle.
If you don't get good reviews by the hobo after your first year, they just require to pay higher taxes.
Okay. So this is called Hobie&B. Nope, that sounds like something else. But it is an app. There it's is a like a rating system.
It's a government-sponsored app, and that's and the rich people can opt into it to avoid paying a huge portion of their income.
Ooh, how about this? No, okay. Instead of then, you just have to pay higher taxes. You do this for a year. If you get a bad rating from that hobo, this time you have to take in another rich person. They have to put everything on hold. They don't have to give their money away. They just have to put everything on hold for a year. And maybe they'll just like let their hobo stay in their house on their own. That's cool. And they just get to come and live in your house. And you get to see this other rich fucker just like with horrible taste, being such a fucking shit, asking for all of your money because he thinks he does need two cars and you have to buy them because that's your job this year.
Mm-hmm.
Is to take care of this guy. Mm. We just got to put them all together. Sorry, you're going to be an asshole to poor people?
How about? All right.
Just keep all that assholery inside of your whole sphere.
Yeah. No, I like this. This is a really good program. Can you imagine? It's like when Obama initially was like, we're going to make a more national healthcare system so more people can have healthcare, affordable healthcare, right? And everyone's like, yeah, that's so great. Imagine if he had gotten up on that stage and wasn't black. I know that's like he couldn't get away with this if he was black, but...
Oh, that's what you mean. Man, you're coming down kind of hard on people of color this episode.
No. I'm saying he couldn't have gotten away with this. Imagine if a white liberal Democrat, like Bernie Sanders, got elected. And he was like, our solution is going to be to make everyone take in a homeless person. And then if they're a dick to them, they have to live with another fucking rich guy for a year.
That would be awful.
Can you imagine what the response would be? It would be amazing. Like, what would people in Congress do? Like, you know, they give standing ovations.
They would, you know,
shit.
What? They might actually do something as opposed to what they normally do.
They might be like, oh, fuck, we got to find anything else that'll get this guy happy. Fuck.
We actually do have to become bipartisan for a second so that we can actually impeach this guy.
Yeah.
This guy is a threat to America, and he's not fit for the White House. We need to kick him out.
Donald Trump would have been fine, but...
Donald Trump would have been fine. I'm okay with grabbing pussies. I'm okay with racism and hatred and anti-Semitism and sexism and all the isms. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
But if it affects my life in a way that would just be mildly annoying, no. We gotta unite under a common banner, damn it. And it's not going to be Bruce Banner.
He's Hulk for president. I do think actually that what I've pitched to you would probably be like a reality show if this was 2006, that would get made as a reality show and have a couple seasons at least.
Yeah. And Donald Trump would pay for it, but not engage in it when it got popular. He would invest, but he would like, I'm not doing it.
Oh, I thought you meant like he would show up and have a weird cameo and everyone feels really weird about it now. Mm-hmm. Everyone in 2018 is like, God, that's gross that he was involved in that thing.
Doesn't matter.
And also
it's
that
fine.
He was involved in that, but also he's a president now.
Yeah. I just shivered in fear. Oh, Tom. Hello, Tom.
Tell me about... What?
You said hello, Tom?
I was going to say, tell me more about Todd.
Oh, I thought you said hello, Tom.
I do appreciate you trying to yes and me about like, there's a mysterious Tom in the picture now. Let's pretend Tom came here.
I figured it was my cat.
I'm not recording. No.
Hey guys,
I'm Tom. I'm new. I just came into the studio and I sound sort of like Jimmy Stewart.
So, okay. Also, a quick side note about podcasting. Before the show, before we started talking, I got something in my eye and it was very painful. And I was like, what would have happened in a 2-person podcast had this happened in the middle of the show? I would just run out of the room and you just edit it out and that would have been awkward. I see the value of a 3-person podcast because at least Tom and Marina can keep the damn thing running.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in pain in the bathroom, mm-hmm. screaming.
Yeah, me and Marina, we're always, you can barely get a word in edgewise, but yeah, between, and we're finishing each other's sandwiches. Okay, that's an old joke, Tom. Can you, we're trying not to reuse old stuff.
All right, okay.
You have your fun. I'm just going to go sit in the back and listen to Rhodes finally talk about Todd, please.
You know what they say, one half brain is better than one. Or wait, worse than one.
I don't know what that means. I'm begging you to talk about Todd.
Okay, so Todd is in... Todd is a character in BoJack Horseman. And he's not initially established as a asexual character. But throughout the first several seasons, he doesn't really get any type of romantic plot of any sort. And that's kind of surprising for modern media, because like every character that's taken like as a serious main character usually gets one at some point, or at least has it questioned. But he's just kind of a character with viewpoints, which is almost like how women should be portrayed in media more often. That's an unfortunate thing. But the point is, he has this like he's just kind of living his life, and then at some point, I can't remember if it's season 2 or 3. I'm pretty sure it's 3.
I think it's the end of season 3 because I read about it when I tried to find asexual people in media.
Yeah, I think that they start hinting at it at the beginning of season 3 because he meets a character, like a female character, who's interested in him romantically, and he's just like really happy to have her as a friend, and like they hang out and have fun. But at some point she just like, I guess, quote unquote, reads into it and thinks that like he was interested and then he wasn't, and then she feels bad, and that's kind of like the dramatic arc, I think, for that character in that season, of them Realizing that he's not interested and him not knowing kind of what to do with that. And at one point they're having a conversation, and this is the end of the season. She's like, are you gay? Like, it's fine if you're gay. Like, just tell me. Like, and that would explain why, like, this is so awkward that you wouldn't be interested in me after our friendship is so strong, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, I'm pretty sure I'm not gay. And then she's okay, but then I don't understand what's happening. And he says, I think I'm nothing. And I thought that was such a really interesting perspective. And they don't ever use the word asexual in that season. That's kind of how he's left off for that season, is I think I'm nothing. And I had already kind of identified myself as somewhere on the asexual spectrum when I had first seen that. And I was like, that's super interesting. I personally never used that phrase to describe myself when I was trying to figure it out. But in hindsight, I could totally imagine saying that, because I didn't feel gay and I didn't necessarily feel straight either. Right. And so,
I read about that because, like I said, I was looking for stuff online and I read about that and I was like, that's kind of shitty a little bit, though. I was like, I get all the feels, but I don't love the concept of taking a character and then just having them be like, I'm nothing. And then everyone's like, oh, he's asexual. Cause it also sounds kind of like a broken thing. But then I read in season 4.
Yes. And that's where it gets,
Yeah. That he straight up is like, no, I'm asexual. And they talk, it's a whole thing.
Yeah. Cause it's for him, he doesn't know, and they don't leave it like that. And it's not happy. It's like a very dour, sad note. I think that's even the last line he says in that season is, I think I'm nothing. And like the camera kind of pulls out and it's like, shit, what is it? Like, this sucks. If I remember it, I could be completely wrong. Mm-hmm. That's how I remember it.
Yeah. It sounds, saying it like that makes it sound like such a dire, sad, bad thing.
Yeah, because I think what the sad part really was is he just didn't know. And I think that really is accentuated by the fact the next season he literally meets a group of people who are like, oh yeah, we're all asexuals. And they kind of explain it to him. And he's kind of confused as to what it means. But as they explain it to him, he's like, oh, that's exactly who I am. And they talk really specifically. It's probably, in terms of narrative, it kind of frustrates me in the show because it's so on the nose as like an educational seminar of what asexuality is. Because like there's just a scene where someone's explaining, yeah, some people can be this and some people can be that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this is kind of supposed to be a story-based show and you probably could have done this differently. I'm very glad that this is in the media, but it's a little weird how on the nose it is. But it does very go into detail and say, yeah, these people are going to get married as asexuals. And he's like, does that make sense? Like, can you do that? Like, he asks, is that a thing I'm allowed to do in the asexual? And they're like, yeah, of course. Some people are aromantic, some people are not, some people are this, some people are that. And they just like let it kind of be whatever. And it's really cool because you see him kind of go, oh, okay. And he starts to learn kind of who he is. And by the end of the season, he's straight up basically about it across the board. And so it's, I think one of the reasons I think BoJack Horseman is such a great show, especially by the end of season 4, is because the first 3 seasons, it always kind of ends on a dour note. It kind of by halfway through starts to look like it's going to get better. And then it kind of falls apart on you. And then by the end of the season, it's like, man, things suck. And like, you're very sad. But by the end of season 4, each of the characters, not each of them, but at least BoJack and Todd get a hopeful beat to end the season. That's really substantively hopeful. And that's his, is that by the end of the season, he's learned from the season before who he is and what that means, and it helps him communicate better. And that's really cool that we got that in media, especially for the first real example I've seen of asexuality. I think they handled it really well, because you never really see it in culture at all. Mm-hmm. Like even in a bad way. I know I'm studying pop culture. When we first got gay people in media, they were always portrayed as a villain who had to die or be punished by the end of the film because of production codes and stuff. But I don't really feel like that ever happened with asexuals. So that's a good thing in a way.
Well, let me lay some stuff on you that I learned.
Because I don't know of any of those things. I'm now nervous.
Well, it's not like queer code. It's different. What I've picked up is it's certainly different. You're right. They were certainly, I guess that's like some Hays Code stuff. But even like past that, even like in more recent times, like the 90s or whatever, like, just stuff that's not now. You get a lot of media where like gay people, right, are villains, or just like maybe not even straight up gay, but there's lots of like queer coding where it's like all these things about this person seem like this, and also they're a villain, and so it's all kind of like combined into like, if you have any of these traits, like trying to kill people and being attracted to men, you're evil. It's like, oh shit, that's shitty. And then like, so that doesn't seem to be what happens with asexuality in media, but I have learned a couple things. One, there's really just like not a lot of asexual people in TV or whatever. Like, there's just not a lot.
Absolutely.
there's Todd, like you have. There's apparently a show called Sirens, and I don't know that it's... I don't know anything about it. One of the lists I looked at is on Bitch Media. It's called We're Not Broken, Asexual Characters in Pop Culture. You could check that out if you want to read some stuff that will probably make you mostly sad. But I guess there's something called Sirens, and there's an asexual character in that. This article says that it doesn't handle it very well, but I think I've seen people on Tumblr who thought it was pretty good. So I don't know. Apparently that's somebody who's, you know, asexual and somewhere else. But there's also... something, I guess there was a show called Huge, I think I found in some other article that I was looking at. And apparently like this girl came out as asexual and then like it was literally canceled like 2 episodes later, not because of it, but just like, it just never had a chance to really, get off the ground. So like, that's good. But one thing I did learn about is a film called The Olivia Experiment, which, it's called The Olivia Experiment. The tagline for the film is a comedy about sexual dis, in parentheses, orientation. And the idea is that Olivia is asexual or identifies as asexual. I don't know if she specifically says that she's asexual or what, but she hasn't had sex and she's 27 and whatever. Mm-hmm. And her friend is like, oh, you should figure out what's wrong with you. Have sex with my boyfriend. And maybe that'll help you like understand why sex is so good and cool. Mm-hmm. And like, there's that. I was like, well, let me watch it. My library has it. And I was thinking I was going to watch it last night. And I watched the trailer and it made me so like upset. And I was like, no, I don't think I'm going to have to do this, because it's literally like, it's all presented as jokes. And it's definitely all presented as like, what's wrong with you? Let's see how we can figure this one out. You just have to find the right guy. And I guess in the end, it seems as though, from what I've picked up and from the idea that it's apparently a rom-com, she finds another guy who's kind of like a schlubby guy, not a hot guy, just like a regular normal guy who's like sweet and kind. And that's the kind of guy she wants to be with, is what it seems like happens. And that's the right way, is you just have to find the right guy.
Yeah, that solves it.
Yeah, and it's because it is something to be solved. And
it's a problem. Yeah,
that seems to be... that one seemed pretty egregious because it was literally an entire movie about it. But that does seem to be generally... the storyline, if there's people who aren't having sex, and it's like a plot point that this person hasn't had sex, the whole concept is like, well, we got to fix it. And it's, that's wrong. That can't be right.
Yeah.
And I also, so like that wasn't great. I decided not to watch it because I was like, I don't think I'm going to enjoy this. So maybe it's great. I don't think so. Maybe it is. I guess you could watch it. I don't know.
I might watch it. I might not. Who knows?
Oh, also the production value just looked really bad. Everything about it looked really bad. It wasn't literally just like, oh, it looks like a shitty storyline about my orientation, but it was also like, and it doesn't look like it's shot very well, or very well made.
Maybe not then.
I did like, so I found this article about it, about how like asexual characters in pop culture aren't broken, blah, blah, blah. And then I found like literally not just like asexuality in pop culture, asexual characters in media or whatever. Like one of the main things that comes up is just a BuzzFeed list. And it's about what people headcanon, like, because there's just really not a lot of asexual characters in media. So like, it's just a list of people's like headcanons of who they think might be. And there's like 5 Harry Potter characters on there.
Oh, okay.
Just like, Luna Lovegood, like somebody, and it's literally just like people on Facebook are like, I think Luna is. And someone's like, I think Dumbledore is. And
okay, gotcha.
I think Katniss is. And like, I can read that. I think Katniss Everdeen from the Hunger Games certainly could be somewhere on the asexual spectrum. She really doesn't seem terribly interested in in sexual interactions and stuff like that. So I could totally buy that.
It's just too bad we don't get actual representation.
Yeah. And also, what also comes up is things like Data from Star Trek, who's like the literal robot. And he's asexual because literally... he's a robot.
He's more comparable to a sponge than a person. Yeah.
Although Data's pretty cool from
Data's
that collection.
Awesome. Data's
he was one
awesome.
Of my favorites.
I'm talking sexually speaking.
Yeah. And so like you get a lot of that. There's basically like people are like Sherlock Holmes is asexual. Which is like because of the comments of like he's a machine and he's not interested in relationships and blah blah blah. He's more focused on his work or whatever. Like people are doing that. That's but there's like a lot of that. There's the problem that I was also seeing was that it tended to be, I should be looking at this list right now and I'm not, but the problem tends to be or like not necessarily a problem. It's fine if you want to headcanon whoever, it's whatever. But like there's sort of this trend of like this person is like a robot and kind of rude and doesn't have friends. Mm. So I think they're asexual. So like Sheldon Cooper, apparently from Big Bang Theory, Sherlock Holmes, like insert variations on Sherlock Holmes, like different versions of Sherlock Holmes is
basically and, like the characters Benedict Cumberbatch tends to play.
Right. Yeah. Gotcha. So that was kind of not great. Like, as I'm reading through this list and seeing lots of like versions of Sherlock Holmes is, I was like, oh, I'm sure I'll see House on here. House does come up in the asexuality in media conversation, but not because people think Dr. House is asexual, but because there's an episode called Better Half in season 8, episode 9, where an asexual couple come in for whatever like medical reason. I never really watched House, but they come in and Dr. House is like, that's not real. Asexuality isn't a thing. They're lying. And so the whole episode, there's whatever else going on. I didn't watch the whole episode, but whatever else is going on. And the overarch of the episode is that Dr. House is trying to find a way to prove that they're not asexual. And in the end he does.
What?
Yeah. It turns out that the husband has a brain tumor that makes it so he doesn't have much of a sex drive, and his wife loves him. And so she's like, oh, you don't want to have sex. Well, also I'm asexual too, so it's fine. And then like, they're like, oh, well, it's just a brain tumor. We're going to fix it and you'll have a sex drive again. And she's like, awesome. I would love to have sex with you because I'm not asexual and I would love to do that. And you're going to be so excited because we're going to get to do that now.
Well, fuck.
Yeah, it was awful. I read about it on this article. I mentioned the Bitch Media article, written by Lauren Janowski. And then I was doing more research and I saw like a clip, sort of like a 3-minute long bit where people just kind of edited the parts together where like they're dealing with asexuality in the episode where Dr. House is talking about it and whatever. And it starts, apparently he says like, I bet you $100 that that's not happening because it's not real. And then by the end of the episode, they learn that it's a brain tumor. And then like Dr. Wilson comes in and just hands him $100 and is like, you're right. And he's like, yeah, I know. Cause asexuality is not real. And those people are going to have a much better life now that they're having sex. And there's lots of like, whenever people are talking about it, there's lots of people making eyes like, whoa, you don't like sex? Ooh, what? Like it was gross. It was really gross.
Oh, that's kind of the worst. I'm glad Tom exists.
Yeah, I'm super glad Tom exists.
I haven't seen any negative depictions of asexuals in media. I'd only seen this one positive one and then zero other things. But to hear there's actually that kind of shit going on.
Yeah, it's pretty bonkers. And I do think it's kind of rare because it's not something people know about as much.
Yeah.
And hopefully now that it's sort of like coming out a little bit more, it's going to, and like, hopefully we're learning a little bit more about asexuality now, and now people aren't such shitheads and know better. So maybe we're not going to see too much of that, but apparently it is a thing that has happened before in different media and kind of gross.
That's the worst.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. There's also a character from Archie, the Archie comics, named Jughead. Are you familiar with Jughead?
Nope.
Apparently in the comics, he's canonically asexual, which is very cool. But then the CW is making a show called Riverdale that's based on this, which is crazy to me because the Archie comics I never read, but they didn't seem like something you could base an entire CW like teen drama about. But apparently
they can.
They can do it. If you want a teen drama.
Don't ever cut writers short of the ability to do a teen drama. They have infinite ability to make this.
CW can handle it. And apparently, yeah, in the show or in the comics, Archie, the character Jughead, I don't know anything I'm talking about, but is asexual canonically. But then in the show, they were like, oh, is he going to be asexual in this too? And they're like, well, it is the CW. We like to have teenagers having sex a lot on the CW. So I don't know. And everyone was like, but is he asexual? And they were like, well, we'll just like figure that out as we go along.
No.
And so at the moment, I guess they're like 2 seasons in and he gave somebody a kiss. I don't know if they're in some relationship or not, but apparently that was the whole thing. I've only done like the barest research and I haven't watched this stuff. Mm-hmm. But apparently the sort of discussion is like, some people are like, you know, hoping that it will turn out that he is in fact asexual. And like, and then it's not that asexuals never like kiss anybody, or especially like there's different varieties of like, you know, demisexuality and on the spectrum. So yeah. Like, it's not crazy that like he could have this interaction with this girl and have an interaction with somebody else later on. And then eventually be like, I am asexual. And that would be fine and good to see someone come to terms with it. Sort of maybe the way that Todd did on BoJack Horseman, but it is kind of like a big bummer.
Yeah.
That there was like, here's this asexual character canonically. It doesn't happen a lot. And they were just like, well, maybe not. Or like the concept, you know, it seems like something that they could maybe just never even bring up on the show. And then like they could like J.K. Rowling it and be like, oh, well, you know, he is asexual. It just didn't come up. It wasn't relevant in this like show about relationships.
It's really.
So I hope it turns out good. But
yeah, definitely. It's I think I'm hoping that BoJack Horseman, I know it's a pretty much a critical success at this point. I'm hoping that its choice to include an asexual character so explicitly, so blatantly, will show that shows can be successful with those characters. I hate that mm-hmm. we still have to do stuff like that in our culture, but we do apparently. And I'm really hoping going forward that things like, what is it, Riverdale will mm-hmm. will follow suit and give us a Jughead guy who's not named Jughead. I'm sorry, that bothers me a lot the whole time.
I don't know. I feel like this is a comic from like the 50s or something. I don't know why they do weird stuff.
No, but does that mean his name in the actual show is Jughead, or is that like a nickname?
I'm assuming his name is Forsyth Pendleton Jughead Jones III.
Okay, that's a lot more appropriate. I thought his first name was Jughead, like he was born and his parents were like, you know what? Put on the birth certificate, Jughead. Just like, yikes, really?
He made his first appearance in 1941.
Wow.
There were lots of Nazis around and... Yeah.
Well, so, it's good that they're making the show in 2018 then, huh?
Just in time.
Just in time. Yeah. Okay, it's super interesting, though. I'm glad to know that, or I'm not glad to know, I'm glad I have more knowledge now. I'm sad to hear that it is the knowledge I just learned.
Yeah, and, like, I didn't have any of it either. Like, I didn't really, when you were like, let's talk about asexuality in media, I was like, what the fuck are we going to talk about for 40 minutes? Like, well. You're going to say, Todd, and I'm going to say, I read a fan fiction one time as a demisexual character, and it was the best thing I ever read. And that'll be the whole podcast.
Well, we can also talk about, and I've been thinking about this a lot, actually, what we would want to see in TV shows about asexuality or ways we would think it would be maybe fun to include asexuals in media. I don't know if you did any of that stuff, but
go for it. You go for it. And I'll come up with another hit reality show.
Oh, okay, great. Okay. Hold on. I have a list here. So I have a couple ideas here. So my first idea is a sitcom. It's a couple, we have to make a couple years in the future as asexuality gets more, more well known.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
No.
Yeah. It's a sitcom. There's like a bunch of friends and they all sit down in like their living room that they share. It's just like friends and they're friends. And then someone says, do you want to have sex? And they say, no, I'm asexual. And then they all laugh. And then that's 30 minutes.
No, it's
that's
not,
it. They're just going to sit there. Maybe once in a while, someone will eat like a corn nut. It'll crack really loudly. And everyone's like, you're disturbing the peace, Brian.
That was not what I was going to propose.
Oh,
it sounds like a very good show that you've just written. But it was not what I was going to propose. I was going to propose it's a sitcom. It has to be a little bit in the future from now. We can't make it today because it wouldn't make sense. But when asexuality is a little bit well more known, just a little bit.
And everyone can fly with their jetpacks.
I'm talking like 3 to 5 years, not like,
okay.
Like just a little bit more known. Like the fact that we're making a podcast has to be indicative of more and more people saying words about it. And more people I interact with at my university, in a Middle East university, are aware of what asexuality is before I explain it to them.
Great.
Now, I'm sure that's not going to be true in Kansas, but like more and more youth are aware and that will spread because youth are thought influencers. So it's a bar. It's about a guy who owns a bar and like the manager of that bar.
He used to be a baseball player and he's an alcoholic. And a lot of people come in. One of them's Norm. Diane works there. Coach worked there at one point. Fraser comes in.
No.
Everyone says, Norm!
No, none of these things.
Okay.
So the man
I'm sorry. I mean the worst.
The man who owns the bar, he's like a 40-year-old who he believes he's like a genius entrepreneur who's going to make mm-hmm. the next big business that's going to change the world.
And the business is a place where people can come and imbibe alcoholic beverages.
Well,
he figured it out.
He does things that he thinks are a little bit different than the norm, but should still work. Like, for example, I'm trying to think of one because I had to give an example that's not the actual thing. He makes a movie theater in which I'm trying to think of something that's like kind of a trend, but like a little bit different than the trend.
People paint your nails.
Yeah. Like something where you can like go to a movie theater and get like a manicure or something. You know what I mean? Like something that like combines awful. Two services at once, something that like tries to get to the niche. And he's hoping that one day he'll make it big.
The movie theater would smell so bad.
Oh, would it? I don't know any about it.
I just feel like the smell of nail polish and nail polish remover and like nail clippings flying into your hair when you're watching like the Avengers do whatever they do. Ouch.
Oh man, that's true. It doesn't sound great. There's like thinking of examples here. He's mm-hmm. probably done like three or four of these in his life, and none of them have ever broke big, but he really wants them to break big. And he's like 45, and so his new idea is he knows about gay bars and straight bars, so he decides to go to like a big city and asexual bar. But he's still kind of old and conservative and believes that asexuality isn't real. He's just trying to play into the like young millennial crowd.
Okay.
But he hires like one employee or two employees because he doesn't need that many. And both of them are like obviously know that it's real. And mm-hmm. his whole thing is by the end of it, by the end of this business, if it does well, he's going to try to prove to everybody in his bar that actually it's all a fake thing. Because he's an asshole.
It seems like a bad business plan, but okay.
But he only did employees. He's not like publicly doing it. He's just like, see those two right there? I bet they're in a fuck by the end of the night. And of course they never do. Maybe like once or twice they do, but that's just because like people are there. Mm-hmm. But by the end, but over the course of the show, you get chances for funny jokes. Ha 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 ha. And I'm sure at some point there could be relationships between people who aren't aromantic or whatever, blah, 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 blah. But by the end of the show, the bartender or the owner of the company realizes that it's not a fake thing. It was real all along. And he's just a dick.
Nice.
But it could be a fun sitcom where like you could actually learn about asexuality and it would be funny, I think, too.
It'd be a fun sitcom where at the end we pull a BoJack Horseman season finale and he sits alone in the room and realizes he's a bad person and he doesn't have friends.
Yeah.
And we laugh.
He deserves this.
He deserves to be unhappy.
This is funny.
Well, I do like the concept. I do like the concept of an asexual bar. It just sounds very funny.
Me too.
Like just that is already a hoot.
Yeah, I know. I'd have to develop the characters a little bit more to like figure it all out. But I definitely wanted there to be like a character who has to learn that it's not a fake thing. And I think the funniest scenario for that is the guy in charge.
That's good. I also, there's like the recurring barfly who's always coming in and he doesn't understand why it's called Aces. And he keeps coming in and hitting on people and they're just like not going for it. And he still doesn't understand why. And so every time he comes in, he's got like a new plan where he's like, look, I learned about negging. Or he's like, hey, look. Guy like at the bar I learned about peacocking and he's always trying out these like shitty
sexual like, things
that yeah like the stuff like, that like that pickup artists like teach you or whatever.
Yeah That'd be very funny. I like that.
Yeah,
I also think the bar could be called Ace Place or Every 6 Sec. And
Every 6 Sec is good. I don't know. It's like, it's kind of confusing. People don't know it's about asexuality because mm-hmm. there's nothing mentioning it there. And so like, if you search asexuality on the iTunes of how to find this bar, like it doesn't
Yelp,
come up.
Brina,
but like,
it's called Yelp, you idiot.
The iTunes of finding bars.
Yelp, Marina. It's just Yelp. It's just Yelp. Also, okay. So, and I also want in that bar there to be a flashing light that flashes every 6 second. And that's mm-hmm. like for all you people in here, every time you see that blink, someone in the world, like a person averagely thinks about sex. And
I was
so they can
hoping
just reminding themselves of that.
I was so ready for you to say there's a blinking light and it flashes every time somebody from the bar has sex. And then, and then you were going to be like, and the only, it never flashes. And I only know that it's a blinking light, but nobody who watches the show does know that.
Or in the last episode, someone's like, hey, why is that light there, Bob? And he's like,
how come that light is never, how come we've never changed the light bulb in that dang light? And he's like, oh, no, it's working. And everyone thinks he's insane. And they send him to an insane asylum for people who think lights work. And he deserves that too.
We're great showrunners.
Yeah.
I'd also like to write a different show. This is not about, this is about gay people, not about asexual people, but it's about a gay.
You thought I can talk about this.
Yeah. Yeah. I know a lot about this. I would be to write the show. I would just have this one season arc as a joke. It's about it's about a gay community. It's like a neighborhood and like a lot of people there are gay. Not everyone, but a lot of people are gay there. It's particularly male guys.
San
gay
Francisco.
People. Sure. Yeah. Gay males in San Francisco in this area. And, an asexual moves in and all the guys there are trying to obviously hit on him. And every episode, a different guy in this group tries to have, like, it's a bet to see if this guy can have sex with them. They don't know he's asexual. They're just trying to pick him up. And this runs for like a season. And then halfway through the season, the girls who visit, like the female friends who visit this gay group, whatever, all the time, I'm sure they visit. They're like, you just don't get it. He's just straight,
they bust
probably.
Him in.
They bust him in. He's probably just straight. And so the girls try, and that doesn't work. And then at the end of it, it's like, you're all dicks for assuming this. End of sitcom joke, ha.
You're dicks for assuming that I like dicks or vaginas or anything.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. I also thought of a really fun idea for a reality show. Again, it's not an entire...
Is it better than Ho B&B?
No, nothing's better than Ho B&B.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. But the idea is basically, like, you know, basically every show, regardless of the premise, where they take a bunch of people and they put them in a house and they're like, here's the premise, is really just about who will have sex with who. I just want them to do that.
We should have talked about The Bachelor. Sorry, keep going.
Oh, oops. A little late, I think.
We'll think about that.
Yeah, we can talk about that more in the future, I think. But the idea being, like, they just do that show, but they get someone who's asexual on it. And it's like every week, it's like, who's going to have sex with who? And it's like, Daryl, are you going to have sex with Cindy? And he's like, no. And then he gets voted off in the first week because it's not interesting enough for the producers. So that'd be cool.
Yeah, actually, this is literally, that's one of the things I have, like, written on my list of things for us to talk about is The Bachelor, because I've watched a little bit of it, and mostly I listened to Rose Buddies when that existed, which is a podcast about The Bachelor, and it is something that's, like, fucking crazy to me, because it's literally, like, they have conversations. If you get to a certain week and you haven't made out with The Bachelor or Bachelorette, it's, like, a bad thing, and, like, whenever I would like listen to this and hear about what's going on, I was trying to fathom the concept of me being on that show or me being the Bachelorette and like all these dudes being like,
oh my God,
trying to kiss you all the time and being like upset because they're like, I guess our relationship just isn't any good because we haven't kissed yet. And I'm like, no, it's fine. Just like, let's not kiss though. And like just the entire concept of like, You have 27 people. Pick one to date. And one of the ways that you pick is you just kiss all of them. What? What? Can you imagine? Disgusting.
Oh, my God.
Gross. So much saliva that's not yours. You've got 28 different people's DNA in your mouth, Cindy. Gross.
Nope. Don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Fucking horror show.
I would love to talk more. I think, in fact, if I can find a copy of a place to watch maybe an episode of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, I might do that in the next time before we watch, before we record again, so we can talk more about it more intelligently.
You should watch Burning Love.
I'm not sure what that is.
It's amazing.
What is it?
It's like a bachelorette, like parody show, basically.
Oh, good, good, good.
And it's the bachelor for the first season is Ken Marino.
Oh.
And God, there's a lot of people in it, but like Kristen Bell is one of the bachelorettes there, and Ken Jeong also.
Oh, good.
And like just a whole bunch of people.
Good.
It's
shit.
All like, yeah. Adam Scott shows up at some point, I think.
Man,
I'm making that up.
That group just like loves working with each other.
Yeah. It's like the whole Rob Thomas gang.
Yeah.
That's You'll see a lot true. Of people you recognize from Party Down. For
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. It's a very good time.
Yeah.
What's his name from Hot American Summer is like the host of the show. That's helpful. What's his name?
A lot of people from Hot American Summer right now.
Yeah, there's just a lot of them. I don't know. He's one of the guys.
Who does what? What
is he? He has hair. Shit.
Does he have the long? Is it JJ, the guy with the long hair? Is it the guy who works in the kitchen with the cook? Is it?
No.
It's not Paul Rudd. It's not.
No.
Is it Michael Ian Black?
Maybe.
Is it the guy who wants Artie to take a shower the whole time?
No.
Is he naked together as Trevor?
It's Michael Ian Black. I've okay. IMDb'd it.
Okay, so I was right. I figured it out.
We have such good content for our listeners to hear. Does he have hair? Yes. Is he white? Obviously. He's an actor in Hollywood. He's successful. Okay. Does he have teeth when he smiles? Yes. Does he have children? I don't know.
Maybe?
I don't know about his life. We just played some Akinator for y'all in podcast form.
That was a fun game we just played. My last.
Maybe we should stop the podcast?
No, I have one more. I have one more idea for a media inclusion.
Shoot, we're running long.
I've almost done here. One more idea for media inclusion.
Do it fast, though.
So the idea
is. You gotta go quickly, though.
Here's the idea. Ready?
Yeah, but you have to go fast.
Asexual porn.
Yeah, so that's basic. Okay, I like the concept, but you are stealing what I said earlier, where it's someone says you want to have sex and they sit there and eat corn nuts. Like, you just stole my idea.
No. But here's how it's different, Marina. It has to have all the same fundamental elements of porn, but none of the actual sex. So it'd be a thing.
Oh my God, Rhodes. So you're telling me I haven't watched lots of porn, and I don't know that I've ever seen anything like what I imagine porn is, which is like the guy comes to the door and it's like,
yep,
and he's like, hey, I want to lay some pipes. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay. I didn't think I needed a plumber. And he's like, I think you do. And they just do that at each other for a while. And then he leaves.
I've written an entire 14 minute porno.
Yes.
In which no sex happens, in which the guy comes in. He's like, hey, I'm here to fix the pipes under your sink. And she's like, oh, sure, come on in. And then he, like...
The water's fine. And he's like, okay, so you don't need me? And she's like, no, that's not what I...
I mean, like, it's hot. The water's hot. The water's warm. It comes out, it's just...
Like me.
I'm like me. It just doesn't dispense very well. Also, like me.
She bites her... Also, I don't dispense very well.
That doesn't make any sense.
I'm a pharmacist, but I'm always holding on to people's pills.
If you get my meaning.
I steal medicine and sell it for money.
And all the old
I'm a
people,
drug dealer.
All the old people who need it are dying. Does that turn you on? He's like, God,
everyone's
no.
dying.
No. No.
Welcome to America.
He's like, God, no, it's awful. Did you steal my fucking grandmother's pills, you bitch? Like, she's dying right now because there's no pills at her pharmacy. Where do you work? And she's like, CVS, baby. And he's like, oh, fuck. The one on 10th Avenue?
Which one? There's so many.
The one on 10th Avenue? She's like,
I'm so angry that I can't determine how quickly where you work.
And she's like, oh, no, it's the one on Lincoln Avenue. He's like, oh, that's fine. Never mind. What about your pipes?
Not my grandma. Hashtag not my grandma. Who's dying? Hashtag not my grandma.
And so he's like, all right, cool. I'll just like get under the sink. And she's like, oh man, you have big arms. He's like, yeah, I work out sometimes. She's like, cool.
You know what they say about big arms? Muscles.
They're good at lifting things and fixing pipes.
Usually they're covered in skin.
Ding dong. Oh, 1 second. I actually have to get the door.
The pizza man's here.
Hey, someone ordered a pizza with extra sausage.
Yeah, Palmer's like, that's me.
Yeah, I ordered that. I'm just real hungry right now. I really like sausage. And he's like, oh, you like sausage? He's like, yeah, it's a really good topping on pizza.
I like sausage too, she says.
And then the whole time, all this
keeps
happening.
I know. And they just like, they turn to her and they're like, I know. We're having a conversation right now.
We're trying to have a dialogue right now in your kitchen, so if you'd
not
stop.
Everything is about you, Sandy.
And then everyone who's watching this is like, is this about to become a gay porn? Like, what's happening? And then that doesn't happen. She just hangs out and like chills at the kitchen.
She says they start making jokes about threesomes. Mm-hmm, she talks about like spit roasting something. It's gross.
Yep. And then by the end, it just ends with like them leaving and she's like, okay, thanks for coming. Have a good day. Bye. And then we put that on Pornhub on April Fool's Day.
Yeah. Oh shoot. We just missed it.
Yeah, we did. But we have a whole year to make it now and make it good.
Nice. Make it real good. If you know what I mean.
Make it real good. We're talking about sexual intercourse. 2 points.
I'm really excited for the, just like, I want to have the soundtrack of it. Like I'm sure that the whole thing is going to be really good, but I'm just really excited to get my hands on the like scoring for this.
I agree.
Film.
Bwah, bwah, bwah,
bwah. Oh, yeah. Sausage pizza with pineapple and black olives. Oh yeah.
We should be screaming.
Plumbers laying pipes.
We should be porn writers, Marina.
His fingers are too greasy from all that sausage. He dropped those pipes. Oh yeah. Look down his plumber crack. Oh yeah. That's a butt there. Oh yeah. He pulled his pants back up. Oh yeah. He's got a belt now.
Because that was an issue for him and his personal self-esteem. He has self-esteem issues.
Oh, everyone does. Dude, you're not alone. I think you're beautiful just the way you are.
He's like, oh, thank you. Is there any chance you can reflect out a tip? And she goes, no, I'm fucking rich. I don't give you tips. End episode.
Oh, shit. Am I supposed to tip plumbers?
Are we? I don't know.
I don't think I've ever hired a plumber. It's okay.
I live in apartments where they hire plumbers.
Right. I live in an apartment where
they don't hire plumbers.
They don't hire plumbers. I just have to deal with it.
Now that's a true American story.
I was just going to yell, welcome to America again. High five through the microphone. Ready?
I wasn't going to actually hit my microphone because I have self-respect or respect for equipment, but okay.
I didn't.
Apparently not.
I slammed into that boy. Oh, that's
That's the title of the porno we're going to make.
Slam into that boy. Slamming salmon into that pizza boy.
Yeah. That's been our show. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to Every 6 Sec, a Sex and Relationship Podcast.
You're doing the Lord's work, because frankly, it's a miracle that you're here at the end of the episode.
It is a miracle. It is a miracle of God. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Oh, also, if you are interested in reading about a very good, romantic, wonderful fan fiction that you don't have to be familiar with Les Miserables to read, World Ain't Ready by Idiopathic Smile. Check it out. It's the one where I learned about demisexuality and was like, yes, and it's also the best thing I've ever read.
Nice.
I sort of mentioned it, and then I was like, I should actually fully mention it because it's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Don't forget to reach out to us on Tumblr or Twitter if you want to, or don't forget to send us an email every6sec@gmail.com. We'd be glad to hear from you. And don't forget to leave us an iTunes review, because we've been very into making fun
of
people on that.
We have some of those now. Yes. If you leave one, we might be like, hey. And then we'll keep talking about what we talk about.
I think we should make a habit to address every iTunes review on the show.
I would love to.
I think so if we get famous, that means we have to have an episode where we just go through iTunes reviews.
Yeah.
And don't even talk about your sexuality.
Yeah. I mean, frankly, we've talked about it. And at some point, what else are you going to say? So, yeah, leave us reviews so we can have something to say next time, which is, oh, thanks for the review. And you can email us questions or comments or your own story about, like, what happened with you in your life. It could be about asexuality. Yeah. It could be whatever. We need stuff to talk about. Like,
please,
shoot us an email.
Yeah, we need to
actually
talk about,
have you checked the email in a while?
No. Doing it right now!
Yeah, me too. I was like, oh, shit, what if someone had emailed us and they were like, the next episode, you've got to talk about this because it's really tough for me. And we're like, fuck off, we're making a porno. No, we're fine. Okay, no one's emailed us. Whew.
Wait, what about this one? Oh, gotcha.
No one emailed us, but you should, listener. I would love that.
We would love it because it would help us emotionally.
And we care a lot about it, obviously. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're waiting, refreshing the page every second.
Click, click every 6 seconds. Am I right?
That's the end of the podcast.
You can leave now. Please leave. This is over.